So my house is a bit unique.
I live in a highly mountainous area for the country, and most of our houses are built into hills, as it's easier to do that than to have them supported. So my house is almost entirely built into the earth. See, I designed it that way. It's a tiny house. It's only 400 square feet, and the impact on the environment was minimal. So, mostly encased in earth, it stays cool in the summer, warm in the winter. Local wildlife feels comfortable approaching the yard, so I see lots of amazing animals. It's a really great situation for the most part, with only one major exception. Something's been eating into my house. I figured it was mice when I noticed that a small hole had been eaten through the west wall of the den area. I patched it up, set up traps, as I've had mice living in here before, but over the next few days, the hole just kept getting bigger. I also noticed that there weren't any droppings in the house. There isn't exactly a lot of space for anything to hide in. I checked all the corners of the house, went from ceiling to floor looking for any holes, but I couldn't figure out how anything was getting in, or getting out. And then, one night, just after I'd turned the lights out, I heard an odd grinding noise coming from the kitchen. I climbed out of the loft and checked it out. As soon as I moved, the noise stopped, and in the kitchen I couldn't find any signs of damage. Nothing had been moved except the clock, which was slightly askew. I fixed it and went back to bed. I put up more traps and I figured a mole must have tried to burrow into the wall. It came back again the next night, and I wondered if I'd need to do something to prevent the mole from hurting itself, or actually managing to break through it. It didn't stop this time when I got up, and I put my ear to the wall to listen. What immediately came to mind was the sound of someone crushing hard candy in their teeth, that kind of glassy sound that makes you wince. It would stop from time to time, and something would shuffle before the sound started again. And it was loud, almost loud enough to force me to pull my ear away. I didn't know how big moles can get, but this one sounded big. Too big. The way the wall shuddered, I gave the animal on the other side a few days before it broke through, and suddenly, more than anything, I didn't want that to happen. Absolutely could not let it happen. But the problem, of course, was the mountain. I had no access to the other side. There was no way for me to find the thing on the other side by any means other than opening the wall before it had a chance to. Now, the thing was nocturnal. I was almost sure. So I waited until the sun had been up for about an hour before taking a hammer and clearing everything in the area away from the wall. Even now, just a day later, I could see that the mole was making progress. The paneling was slightly bowed. There were cracks, but there hadn't been any before. It only took a few taps to break apart what little of the wall was left. The hole was big. Way too big and deep. It led straight into the mountain, far past where I could see. It was easily 2 feet in diameter and uneven in places where the dirt had partially caved in. From the tunnel came a strange smell. Not entirely unpleasant, but strange. Musky apple cider vinegar. I bent a bit closer to try to make out anything in the dark, and I heard a sound. Something in the darkness moved. I saw the shadows swell and shift, and whatever was back there made a strange, keening whine. There was the unexpected and implacable impression of the tunnel growing shorter, and something caught the light and sparkled briefly in the dark, something large and yellow and cracked. A huge gray thing covered in slime and dead patches slithered out of the darkness and moved over a pile of dirt. It rolled around, covering itself, and shrank back into the darkness. Something smacked, and the tunnel shortened again, and whatever it was moved closer, making the kitchen keening sound. The gray thing darted out again, felt blindly around the ground, picked up rocks and brought them back into the dark, which consumed them with the glass candy splintering. And by now I had backed up, but the thing kept coming closer, and the keening grew louder. It was only a few feet away when I backed up, my mouth opening and closing. The gray thing slithered back into the cavity that it had come from. The tombstone teeth came together and there was no lips, only cracked edges that oozed a blood redder than I'd ever seen before. It dipped down the surface of its teeth, pooled in the cracks. One tooth had broken in half as its mouth opened and closed around the rocks and the dangling nerve was crushed over and over, prompting the keening. The tongue flopped out, slithered out of the tunnel, and crept around the surrounding wall, and I shrieked. I grabbed the knife from the block and sliced at the tongue, and whatever it was connected to let out a rush lusty scream. That tongue retreated, bleeding profusely, and deep in the mountain I could hear something moving. Something huge, something that I hadn't cared to learn any more about. I packed a suitcase, and I drove into town with no intention of coming back. To find out what that mouth was attached to. I promise I won't come inside. I really won't. I promise I won't come inside if you leave the window open. I won't go all the way, just a little. All of you are so soft, you're so soft. And I really won't hurt you, I promise. I just want to look at you a little. Please don't replace the blinds. It was hard to get them open. And I promise I won't be around too much if you'll just let me come and look just once in a while. I just get lonely. I get really, really lonely, and it would mean so much to me if you'd just leave the blinds broken where my face is. It won't even bother you. It's too high up. Too high up for you to see anyway. You won't even notice me. I'm quiet. I really am sorry about the dogs. Yeah, I know he's not supposed to be outside, but it really wasn't his fault. I didn't want to hurt him, so I put him out of the way. I'm really very nice. I can introduce myself if you want. I'm Tag. That's what she called me, Tag. That was her idea. I liked it, so I let her, but usually I don't. And she was very nice, but no one really liked her much, so. You see, because she and I, we're both just a little different is all, but we're very nice once you get to know us. And this girl, I think her name is Molly. And I lived above her bed and I watched her sleep because that's what she made me for, was to watch her sleep. And one night I got too far away and now I'm a little different is all. My head doesn't hurt at all. It really doesn't. It just looks funny. And for a while she called me Sockhead. But then when I got good at running, she called me Tag. Then Molly went somewhere. And I can't find her. I'd really like to find her, but I really just need you to see me just for a second. I know I'm a little different. But I promise I'll just watch you for a little while. You'll think that you're dreaming. I really don't want to hurt you. I just want to get more different. You understand, right? I really don't mean to be a bother, but can you leave your curtains open tonight?
I think it's a really bullshit excuse, and if you use it to get out of something you did, I'm gonna think you're a dick. But that being said, I really honestly do not know how this happened. There were a lot of other dogs that I liked more. I passed over him 3 times before I saw him sitting in the darkest corner of his kennel. I literally could not see him until the light reflected in one of his eyes, and I stopped. Oh, holy shit, I mumbled. I crouched, I got a better look at the dog. A little black Pomeranian. He was sitting rigidly in the corner watching me. It appeared to be covered in some kind of growths, odd things bulging out of every surface of its body. Jesus, I said. The hell's wrong with it? The attendant shrugged. I don't know. Came in today. Can't get near him. If I try to touch him, he bites. But I was standing up, my eyes locked in the dog's. It watched me with curious intensity. I want him, I heard myself say. I was surprised, but I had to admit there was something weirdly endearing about the ugly dog. The attendant reluctantly opened the cage. The dog got up, walked calmly out, and sat at my side. It looked up at me with its weird black marble eyes, and I bent down. I wrapped my hand under its hind legs, supported it in one of the only places the tumors hadn't grown. The attendant just stared at me until I turned and walked calmly to the front of the shelter. I bought him for $150, the understanding that I was fully responsible for anything that might go wrong with him. I put him in the front seat of the car, buckled him in, and we drove home. I really, honestly, do not know what happened. For the first few days, he acted like a normal dog. Whoever had owned him before had clearly trained him very well. He was smart. I didn't have to force a leash over his lumpy neck because he never left my side. He kept close, always in my shadow, and even when squirrels crossed our path, he never budged. He ate like a horse, though. I could not give this dog enough food. I worried about it at first and tried to cut back, but he'd look at me with those weird eyes, and I'd watch myself give him a double serving.
He never put on weight, but the tumors seemed to grow. As with the eating, though, it didn't seem to concern me. But I noticed other strange things, too. I was missing a lot of time. I came home from work, and in what felt like an instant, it was time for bed. These episodes always seemed to be preceded by the dog coming into the room and sitting at my feet. I mean, God, he was an ugly thing. Barely dog-shaped anymore, the tumors took up most of his body mass. His skin was black as well, so it was hard to notice the hair loss, but it was there. I never really looked at him when I could help it. I decided that there definitely was a correlation between the missing time and the dog. I just didn't know what to do with the information. Couldn't explain it. That is, until one night when he walked into the living room, sat at my feet, and spoke to me. I was watching the weather and there was a tornado warning in Topeka. I felt bad for their big grain silos that were currently hurling through the town and the barns, and the dog came and sat at my feet, and I ignored him until the television went out. He was watching me with a somehow more casual demeanor, cocked his head to the side, and spoke in a deep baritone voice that I heard as much as felt. I apologize for taking up so much of your time. I understand that you live tragically brief lives. How cruel. I blinked at him and opened my mouth, but he continued. When the others come, I trust that you'll be hospitable. It will prolong your life a great deal. A completely foreign sensation rippled through me, and I grabbed my skull. I tried to keep it from coming apart at the seams. I managed to open one eye enough to see the growths on the dog tear open in great sprays of thick yellow-gray fluid that soaked what little fur it had left. The tumors uncoiled themselves and, trembling, rose to hook into the air itself and tear it apart. And behind reality, I saw endless flashing shapes in every color that could ever be, and to look at it made something in my brain pop until I fell to my knees and passed out. When I woke up, I was alone. There was no sign that he'd ever been there. It was like he never even existed. It's been about a year since then, and I don't have any other animals, and every time I leave the house, I can't help but think what he said to me about being hospitable. It also occurred to me that he never specified who the others were. I wonder when the next one will show up. Hey there, everyone who's listening on YouTube, or those of you who are listening on the podcast. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and before you head out for the night, I just wanted to let you know about a couple of things. Without you, the show doesn't take place. So, if you guys would like to support the show, or if you guys would like to get your hands on a couple of cool little things whenever new things come out, check out patreon.com/MrCreepypasta, and any support that you guys show, I really appreciate. For everyone who's already donated to the Patreon, I really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. I thank you so much for that. If you guys are looking for more Creepypasta Storytime, there's a new video that's uploaded to this channel or uploaded to the podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday now. You can be able to get more from me at facebook.com/MrCreepypasta or on Twitter at MrCreepypasta and then the number 0. Thanks so much for listening, kids, and for your support.
And sweet dreams.